hi, everybody. Welcome to my podcast. My name is Steve Hutto. I'm with Harvest Missions, and thank you for joining me today. I would like to invite you to check out Harvest Missions, if you will, and see a little bit, find out a little bit about what we www.harvestmissions.org. That's harvestmissions.org. You can also email us at harvestmissions@mail.com. And we are on Facebook at Harv Missions. That's at Harv Missions. Once again, thank you for joining me. We are a nonprofit missions organization reaching into the nations of India and also to the great nation of Honduras. Now, I've been dealing with the question, answering the question, what are you doing with your salvation? And I'm going to continue on that in this session today. And I just wanted to let you know that I feel that my calling in life as a minister of the Word of God, a minister of the gospel, I've been a pastor for a number of years. I'm a missionary pastor now, but my calling is to encourage and maybe sometimes stir up and even fire up the body of Christ. We are living in a time, now listen to me carefully, we are living in a time right now where Christians who are born again and even filled with the Spirit of God are going to be tested and even tempted to go along with certain principles that literally oppose the Word of God. I mean, the spirit of wokeness, which is the spirit of the Antichrist, is running rampant in our nation now. And there are some people that are beginning to say that, well, maybe the Bible is a little antiquated, and maybe it's just not completely true, or maybe it's just one day it was relevant, but it's not relevant for today. Well, my job in the kingdom is to get you to stand on the Word of God, because listen to this. Jesus said, Matthew 24:35, he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not. Now, I know that man's been on the earth around 6,000 years, but Jesus said that 2,000 years ago, and it still holds true today. His words will never pass away. Listen to this, Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times. Listen, the Word of God is eternal. It is the rock. It lasts throughout all the ages. It is the blueprint for life for those who have given their lives to Jesus. We must learn it. We must know it. We must apply it. And we must stand on it, especially in these current times, which are the latest of the last days. And a couple of more scriptures, and then I'm going to get to what are you doing with your salvation. But Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent, or basically change his mind. He has said, has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? And then Ephesians 6:17 says that the sword of the Spirit, which is part of the armor of God, is the Word of God. The sword is the only weapon that we've been given, a part of the armor of God, that we literally advance, not only just stand against or defend ourselves, but it's the only weapon that is not a defensive weapon or covering. It is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you do not know the Word of God and stand upon it and know the difference, and if you're not able, because you don't know the Word of God, to discern what is the Word and what is not in these last days, you will be deceived. And you are dressed in the armor of God, perhaps, with no weapon to advance or even defend against the enemy. So that's my calling in life. My calling is to get you, Christian, to stand up in these last days. You don't have to go out and make a spectacle of yourself. You don't have to be hateful or rude or anything like that. But you just have to make decisions and choose life directions that depict that you are one who believes in Jesus, follows Jesus, and stands upon his word. I mean, you know, when somebody comes up and says, well, you know, God is love. I mean, you know, maybe he will forgive people and he will approve of same-sex marriage, so you can embrace that today because God is love. No, that's not the Word of God, what the Word says. So my point is, be encouraged to stand upon the Word, to know the Word. If you know the Word, stand on it and apply it in these last days, because it is the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, through which the light of the gospel is shown. We are a city set on a hill. We are a lamp, not with a bucket over it, but set on the lampstand so that all can see the light of Jesus Christ and the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now listen, if that sounds old-fashioned, either you ain't saved or you need to get fired up as a Christian, because the Word of God in Hebrews 4:12 is living, it's active, it's life-giving, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, joints and the marrow. In other words, it separates between the spiritual and the soulish, even the physical. It heals. It goes deep even into the physical body, not just the spiritual and not just the soulish. And it's able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. So listen, my friends, stand on the Word of God in these last days. Let me encourage you. I am praying for you. I'm praying for the body of Christ to stand strong and just simply say, when the devil comes and says, embrace this, everybody else does. The government does. He, she, everybody does this. This great famous pastor, he embraces this. You say, no, I don't embrace that because it says not to in here. Or I do embrace this because it says so to do so. And here, and that's my calling in life. Man, you know, Jesus told the devil when he came to him to tempt him and to try to twist him, twist the word and to deceive him like he did Adam and Eve a few thousand years earlier. One of the things he said was that man shall not live on bread alone. I mean, it's not all about food. It's about living on every single word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And when we do, everything else takes its proper place. Man, that's sermon number one for today. So what are you doing with your salvation? I've been basing this on Hebrews chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. So let me read this text. Paul said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." We're created in Christ for good works. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creature, a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come." So if you know Jesus, you're a new creation in Christ. You're created in Christ, that new creation, to do good works that God prepared beforehand so that we should not just read about them, that we shouldn't gloat over how powerful the early church was or some evangelist is. No, we're created in Christ for good works that we, that's you and myself, would walk in them. And we talked about this. If we're created in Christ for good works, well, what do we do? Jesus is our example. Acts 10:38, "You know Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power." That's when the Spirit of God descended upon him after he was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. "And you know how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." That's the purpose of the church. We are to go about healing all. We're to be concerned with the oppressed. And there's other scripture about what Jesus did that I'll touch on. So John, of course, I touched on this last session, John 14:12. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you," or "truly, truly I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, he or she will do also. And greater works than these will he or she do, because I'm going to the Father." And we know that Jesus sent forth the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost after he went back to the Father to establish the church. I talked about this. This is one reason, my friends, that we need to do what we're created to do, and that is good works to do the same works that Jesus did. We talked about the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive compensation or payment for his deeds or her deeds done through the body or done while we lived on this earth in accordance with what he has done, good or bad. So we're going to be paid for what we did do or what we didn't do, good or bad. Now, that sounds pretty tough, but you know what? God is serious about the fact that he sent his only begotten Son, who gave everything up for you and me, and was tortured, crucified, rose 3 days later, went back to the Father. He's very serious about that, so that whoever would call upon the name of the Lord and surrender their lives to him would be saved. Man, that's incredible. So we're going to be repaid or paid for what we did as believers in Christ, the ones who were created in him for good works, that we should be walking in them. And I want to talk about a rather long parable, but it's self-explanatory, so I'm just going to read it. It's the parable of the talents from Matthew chapter 25. Listen to the words of Jesus here. Now, keep in mind, yes, he's talking about money because the talent was so many days' wages. But also it's a scriptural principle that you see all throughout the Old and the New Testament. And so we're going to use this, keeping in light and in mind the fact that we will be recompensed, or we will be paid, compensated for our works, good or bad, that we did on the earth as born-again, Spirit-filled Christians. Matthew 25:14, for it is just like a man about to go on a journey, talking about the kingdom of heaven, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. The one who had received the 5 talents immediately went and did business with them and earned 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had received the 2 talents earned 2 more. And he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came, and he settled accounts with each one of them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted to me 5 talents. See, I have earned 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have earned 2 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master. Now, the one who had received the 1 talent came up also, and he said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away, and I hid your talent in the ground. See, you still have what is yours. But his master answered and said, listen to this now, you worthless, lazy slave. Did you not know that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter seed? Verse 27, then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, catch this now, take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. You know, that's tough. And that's not a complete rendition of God, but it is an illustration of the principle of the kingdom, that we have been given the gift, the talent, if you will, of salvation, created in Christ through everything he did by grace. We're saved by grace through faith. Ephesians Well, the one of 5, 6 through 10, I believe, or 8 through 10. So we don't have to work for our salvation, but once we're created anew in Christ Jesus, we are created to do those good works. And once again, according to 2 Corinthians 5:10, we will stand before Jesus. This is not to threaten anybody or scare anybody, but let me just be perfectly honest with you. It concerns me about me. I want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to be paid for the things that I did good. Nobody's perfect. And as I said last time, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in this life, we should be so concerned about what we're going to receive when we stand before that Bema seat, in the Greek, the judgment seat of Christ, when we are there, and be accountable for what we did, good or bad, on the earth. He has made it so because of the cross. We are forgiven of our sins, and we apply that forgiveness every time the Holy Spirit especially convicts us and brings to our remembrance things that we have done. We keep short accounts with him, and we don't have to carry a lot of those things that otherwise we would be paid for that we did bad, because we deal with it before we leave. I mean, that's just a benefit and a blessing of knowing Jesus. We walk in forgiveness, but we have to walk close to Jesus in order to do that. So my encouragement to you is that you draw close to Jesus. If you haven't just surrendered, even as a Christian, even as a Spirit-filled Christian, if you haven't yet just gotten to the point where you say, Jesus, I'm surrendering everything, all of my cares, all of my worries, all of my anxieties, all of my struggles, all of the things that I know I shouldn't be worried about and struggling with, forgive me those things, and I surrender my everything and my total being to you. And from this point on, I'm going to live for Jesus, even, listen now, in the midst of a wicked and crooked and perverse generation that we're experiencing today. Remember, you are the light of the world. You are that city set on a hill. You are the light that we are, according to Matthew 5:16, we're supposed to let shine before men in such a way that they see our, here it is, good works. And the result is they glorify our Father who is in heaven. My, what a great God we serve, and what a great opportunity to serve him in this day and time today. Listen, I'm out of time. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode. What are you doing with your salvation? I pray that you are encouraged to do good things that glorify Jesus. God bless you. I love you. Have a great time and a blessed weekend. Bye-bye.